The Gospel reading from Matthew. Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea, across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
For the hymn of response this morning, one of the greatest and most universal of Christian hymns in all of the world, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." But meaning no disrespect to that hymn, however, this morning, the title of my sermon is a slight derivation. I am deciding to follow Jesus. The thesis being that following Jesus is a lifelong answer to Christ's call to come and follow, not merely a singular one-time event of salvation, conscription, and/or ordination. Though we do like and well remember those singular and stunning scenes of call like the ones we have in today's text. Jesus is walking beside the Sea of Galilee. "Come and follow me," he says, "and I will make you fishers of people." And as Toy said a moment ago with the children, in stunning and dramatic fashion, the brothers James and John immediately leave their father Zebedee behind in the fishing boat and go to follow. It happens so fast, in fact, that I wonder if maybe these two weren't all that very excited about working with their dad in the family fishing business. And then another set of brothers, Peter and Andrew, do the very same, leaving their nets on the shore. They too suddenly drop everything and come and follow. And let me put just a little coda onto the children's sermon this morning. You must be 18 before you're willing to make this decision. And there they are, the first disciples, called, and suddenly and excitedly on a day that they would no doubt never forget, nor shall we. As we wonder to ourselves if we would have dared to have gotten out of that boat, left our entangling nets behind, and decided right then and there to go and to follow Jesus. That is such a provocative question And this is such an exciting text. So I see why, when it comes up in the lectionary every 3 years, this call scene is really all that most of us preachers focus on and all that we really remember. But there is something else that happens just before the call scene. In the first verse of what we read this morning, that is essential for understanding not only the rest of what we read today, but essential for understanding the whole gospel itself. John had been arrested, the Bible says, and Jesus withdrew. John was arrested because, as we all know, he was a prophet, willing to speak truth prophetically to power. Jesus withdrew because he knew that if John was in trouble, then as someone who was closely associated with John, well, Jesus would be in trouble too. And so it began in the book of Matthew, the counting of the cost. Except for, actually, it did not just begin. We are only in the fourth chapter of the book of Matthew, and at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, yet it is already the fifth time this word withdrawal has been used. Up till now, in fact, Jesus' whole life in the book of Matthew has been a series of necessary withdrawals. From the moment he was born, Herod had been after him. So the family, the scripture said, had to withdraw all the way to Egypt to escape. And after Herod the Great died, the family returned to Judea, but having heard that Herod's son, Archelaus, had arisen to power in Judea, they had to again withdraw to Galilee to find safety. This was not the first time that Jesus would withdraw, nor would it be the last. Later in the book of Matthew, we will see him withdraw when the crowds come to try to take him and make him king, because he knows all of what that might mean. And he'll have to withdraw again when the word comes that John has been beheaded. And it becomes clear to him that if Jesus continues in John's ministry, the baptized will end up suffering the very same fate as the baptizer. Jesus withdraws in the scriptures again and again to a place of safety, to seek security, to gain clarity, to pray and to purify and to count the cost, to consider the mission, and to decide if he is truly ready to wear the mantle, even if it should become a cross. So how powerful it is then in today's text that though Jesus knows that John is behind bars, Jesus very intentionally comes preaching on the shores of the Sea of Galilee the exact same words John preached on the banks of the Jordan. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. He had counted the cost. And Jesus decided to follow John. And now the disciples were being called to follow Jesus. And again and again and again throughout the scriptures, as the cost of their discipleship becomes clear, these first disciples will withdraw with Jesus as he considers all that is at stake. And when he decides again and again, they too will have to decide with him whether or not they are still willing to proclaim the coming of the kingdom of heaven, not only in Galilee, but also in Judea, right in the face of the kingdom of Herod. Only some will say yes, and many will say no. Many will be called, but only some will follow. The point of the scripture this morning, the point of the sermon this morning, I should say, is that we tend to think of following Jesus as something that comes all at once in one final and definitive yes, but the truth is that there are many, many yeses, some big and some small. We think, especially when we read a text like this, that it comes in one single $100 bill. But actually, the cost of discipleship is paid out in a lot of nickels and dimes and quarters and single dollar bills and an occasional 20 and rarely a general grant. For those of you who don't carry cash or even know what cash is anymore, thank you, Venmo. General Grant was head of the Union Army, the 18th president of the United States of America, and he is on the $50 bill. And the cost of discipleship is high, and we really never, ever stop having to pay it. I think this is the weakness of the Baptist revival culture that a lot of us grew up around. It was preached that all we had to do was come and repent and get saved and get baptized once and for all. But Jesus said, even after he had been down into the waters of the Jordan with John in his own baptism, that he still had a baptism with which he had to be baptized. Jesus still had a decision facing him in following in the way of John, and we still have decisions facing us in following in the way of Jesus. The first baptism, like the one we witnessed last week with Rosie, is just the beginning. And we have many, many baptisms with which yet to come through. We don't follow Jesus once and for all. We follow Jesus a day after a time, day after day after day. And I think of my own life. When did I choose to follow Jesus? Was it when I was a 16-year-old kid and gave my life to him like Rosie did last week? Yes. Was it when I got out of college and decided to go to seminary? Yes. Though I confess to you that I was going to seminary with the firm conviction that I was not ever going to be a pastor. And some have asked what I thought I was doing there, and I always answer, hiding in plain sight. So was it when I swallowed my pride, finally, and made the decision to surrender my life to the Lord and to the ministry? Yes. Or was it when in my first church I finally got up the nerve to say before the congregation that I really don't think that being gay is a sin? Was it then? Yes. Or is it somewhere still out there, waiting for me in some unseen future? The answer, of course, to that question is yes. It is still out there waiting on all of us in some way. When, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadows, the good shepherd says to us to come, and to be not afraid. And with courage, we rise up. And we say yes. Yes, Jesus comes and calls us to come and to follow on the shores of Galilee. And he comes and he calls us to follow faithfully all the rest of our days also. And counting the cost again and again and again, day by day and year by year, we are deciding over and over again to say yes. We just observed Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I can't read this text that we read this morning about the call of Jesus and the disciples amidst the arrest and certain death of John without thinking of what the great preacher, Dr. Gardner Taylor, said happened at the funeral for Dr. King's mother, Alberta King, who was murdered in church on the organ bench by a crazed man in 1974. Dr. King had been killed in 68. In 69, his brother, A.D. King, died of a heart attack, probably brought on by all of the stress that his family was under. And then in 74, an assassin came into church and murdered their mother right there before the congregation. Yet as the family gathered for the funeral, with bit lips, Dr. King's father and the now widower, Martin Luther King Sr., told his dear friend, Dr. Taylor, they killed Martin. A.D. is dead. And now they've killed my wife. But then clutching Dr. Taylor's hand, he said, but A.D.'s third son came to me the other day, and he says that he is going to preach. And then he looked at his friend, and he said these words, "They won't be able to kill us all." And decision after decision after decision, to follow faithfully in the way of Jesus, counting the cost at every turn. I have decided to follow Jesus, and I am still deciding to follow Jesus, and I will still be deciding to follow Jesus all my life long and beyond life even as well. And as the good hymn says, and my prayer is, no turning back, I'll follow him. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Mother of us all, and together all of God's people do say,